Mantic 59 presents Sharpologist. Look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. 30 days to a more enjoyable shave. Sharpologist 30 days to a more enjoyable shave by Mark H, aka Mantic 59. You are probably unhappy with some aspect of your shave. Maybe you're prone to razor burn and ingrown hairs, or you get lots of nicks and cuts, or you're unhappy with the cost of razor cartridges. How would you like to consider shaving as a pleasant diversion rather than a painful chore? I'm writing this guide to show you how not only to get a better shave, but also to get a more enjoyable shave. Then be sure to follow Sharpologist for more great content on shaving, grooming, and even some guy stuff. The challenge plan. For the next 30 days, I want you to devote just 10 minutes per day for the challenge. You may not need all 10 minutes, but let's carve them out of your schedule anyway. So set your alarm so you rise 10 minutes earlier than usual in the morning, assuming you shave in the morning. Or devote 10 extra minutes before going to bed if you shave in the evening. If you're a morning shaver and constantly pressed for time due to work or family, consider moving to a night shave for a while. In any case, start the routine this Saturday, even though you won't have anything to do just yet. I want you to get used to it. How will you spend that extra 10 minutes? It will be different each week for the next 4 weeks. Week 1 will concentrate on preparing for a shave. Week 2 will discuss shave lather in all its intricacies. Week 3 is reserved for shave technique. And week 4 will finish up with after the shave tips and products. Homework for the shave prep challenge. Next week we will concentrate on preparing for a shave. The essence of that preparation is cleaning your face, or whatever you are going to shave, correctly, with the right kind of product. Your homework in preparation of next week is to obtain a skin cleaning product meant specifically for the face. No deodorant or body bars here. We'll get into the reasons why later. Look in your grocery store, drugstore, or Megamart personal care aisle. You will probably find a glycerin-based bar of soap or liquid wash from a number of different brands. The takeaway is to find a gentle face cleaning product, even if you are not going to shave the face. Ideally, one with a scent you find pleasant. Week 1. Preparation. I asked you to set aside 10 minutes per day for the challenge. Luckily, you probably won't need that much for this assignment. I want you to spend about 5 minutes on preparation. First things first, thoroughly wash your hands with whatever product you have selected and plenty of warm water before you do anything else. If your hands are dirty or worse, contaminated, you are just making it that much tougher to clean the area to be shaved. The next step in preparation is to begin rinsing the area to be shaved with generous amounts of warm to hot water. Hot, but not uncomfortable to you. If you are going to be shaving your face, be sure to pay close attention to your neck area as well. Doctors tell me it takes about 3 minutes to properly hydrate the skin for shaving. Spend at least 1 minute just rinsing thoroughly before lathering up the area with your soap. Cleansing and rinsing. Spend the next 2 minutes, at least, to wash and rinse the area to be shaved. If you want to integrate this preparation into your shower routine, feel free to do so. Don't bother drying off the area you are going to shave. After your preparation is complete, shave as you have been normally doing. You may be changing that next week, though. Be sure to apply these concepts all week. What about pre-shave oils? I'm not a big fan of pre-shave oils as part of preparation. They do nothing for cleaning the skin, and although they may help with lubrication during the shave, I think that if you use good products, you won't need them anyway. But if you do incorporate a pre-shave oil as part of your shave preparation, apply it after cleansing. Homework for the Shave Lather Challenge. Homework for next week's challenge topic is a two-part assignment. First, determine what kind of scents you enjoy. Then, search for shaving products that meet that scent profile. If you have taken to old-school shaving using a brush and lather cream or soap, this might be a no-brainer. If you have been using the typical goo in a can, a whole new world may be opening up for you. Be sure to check Sharpologist's shaving product reviews as a guide. The single most important item for an enjoyable shave? How to buy a shaving brush. You may think they're old-fashioned or foppish, but the truth is using a shaving brush can make a huge difference in the quality of your shave. Unfortunately, selecting and using a shaving brush can be a little confusing to the uninitiated. So let's try to make a little sense out of the options. The most obvious selection criterion is price. You should be able to find a brush with virtually any budget, so set yourself a maximum price and stick to it. Bear in mind that many shavers who use shaving brushes eventually get another brush after they have used one for a while and have decided they have a preference for a particular aspect or type of brush. The next criterion of selection is brush size and shape. Brush dimensions are typically expressed in millimeters and are often divided into three sections: loft, knot, and overall height. The loft is the length of the actual hair from the top of the handle to the tip of the hair. The knot is an indication of the amount of hair packed into the handle. By the way, the knot dimension can be a little sketchy because hair can be packed in lightly or loosely. Finally, the length of the handle is factored in to determine the overall height of the brush. Very generally speaking, larger brushes tend to work better lathering large areas more quickly, while smaller brushes offer more control. Brush sizes cover a very wide range, but I think it's safe to say that the average loft is about 50 millimeters and the average knot is about 20 millimeters. Two additional factors of brush size and shape are a little more ambiguous. The first is the tips of the loft can be shaped into a fan-like shape or into a bulb-like shape. Each style has their advocates who claim one shape is better than the other, but there's no real agreement about it. The second is the size and shape of the handle. Size and shape is yet another personal preference, but in the absence of knowing what you want, I suggest measuring the distance from the palm of your hand to the pad of your thumb and let that be the maximum length of the handle. The final criterion is the type of hair in the brush. Shaving brushes generally come in one of four types of bristle: boar hair, badger hair, horse hair, or synthetic hair. Boar hair brushes, often called natural bristle brushes, are the most commonly seen in mass market outlets such as drugstores and groceries. Most of these brushes are not very well constructed and tend to require more work to get a decent lather out of as well. However, this is not to say that all boar hair brushes are substandard. Quite the contrary, a well-made boar brush will provide years of service and work quite well after a break-in period. They work particularly well with shaving soaps, though you can use them with shaving creams as well. Sometimes these brushes are dyed to look like badger hair brushes. Badger hair brushes are generally regarded as the preferred material for shaving brushes, and they can generally make a lather more quickly and retain more heat and water than brushes of other types. However, there are a number of different grades of hair, and unfortunately, there is no standardized grading process between manufacturers. But there are some general guidelines you can use. The lowest grade of badger hair is generally referred to as pure. This grade is characterized by a dark color and thick, relatively stiff, coarse-looking hair. Some manufacturers will bleach the hair slightly to give it the look of a higher grade, but the hair itself will still look coarse. The next step up is usually called super or fine. These brushes are generally better constructed and the hair is finer looking, softer, and lighter in color. Super badger brushes retain water and heat noticeably better, sometimes dramatically better than lower grades, and can make a better lather more quickly. The highest grade of badger hair is generally labeled silver tip. These brushes are usually made to the highest standard, often with hand-crafted workmanship, commanding the highest prices. Silver tip hair is often cream-colored on top with darker bands of color below and very fine but still fairly flexible hairs. These brushes will retain even more water and heat than Super Badger brushes, but is a less dramatic improvement. Horsehair shaving brushes are just now returning to the market after a hiatus of nearly 100 years due to an anthrax scare during World War I. They generally perform somewhere between boar and badger. Finally, there are synthetic brushes. These can range from brushes with nylon bristles to those with more specialized synthetic material. Their price and performance usually fall between those of boar and badger brushes. However, a new generation of synthetic hair material is beginning to appear, significantly closing the gap, with some performing almost as well as silvertip badger hair. A few additional thoughts about brush hair. First, because boar hair and horse hair retain less water than badger hair, selecting a boar hair or horse hair brush with a higher loft will help compensate for water retention. Second, boars and badgers are killed to harvest their meat and hair, so if that is a concern, you will want to select a brush with synthetic or horse hair. By the way, almost all of the badger hair used in shaving brushes comes from China, where the badger is considered a pest and controlled under license. Third, shaving brushes are made to use with traditional shaving soaps and creams, but some people use them with brushless creams and gels as well. Bear in mind that the ingredients of some brushless products may damage a brush's natural hair, so if you are unsure of the ingredient reaction, consider using a brush with synthetic hair. Week 2. Lather. The mysteries of shave lather. This week's challenge is to make the most enjoyable lather with the product or products you have selected to use based on last week's homework. The point here is to make applying and using shave lather something that appeals to your senses of touch and scent. Before you lather, be sure to prepare the area as discussed in the previous section. You may have found that you don't need all the time that was set aside to do it, which is fine. Personally, I only need about a minute's worth of washing and rinsing, but it can take longer, depending on the person. That's okay, too. Using canned goo, products from pressurized cans. Don't. Just don't. There may be a couple canned shaving products that perform reasonably well, but all things being equal, putting canned shaving product on your skin is the least acceptable method of shaving. It usually does not smell good if it smells like anything. It is not as good for the skin. The propellants will dry out the skin, so manufacturers have to add artificial lubricants. And it's really just as messy as other methods of lather. You may be saving yourself 90 seconds of building an amazing, enjoyable lather, but it's not worth the time saved. Using brushless cream or gel from a squeeze tube. Still probably not the best option for a truly enjoyable shave, but using a brushless cream or gel applied with your fingers can certainly give you a good shave. Hopefully, you found a brushless product with a scent you enjoy. Applying a brushless product is reasonably straightforward, but a lot of people just don't spend the time to do it correctly. Here's where your 10-minute set-aside will come in. Like last week, you probably won't need all that time. After you have prepared the area, 1. Wet the area to be shaved with warm water. Remember to pay close attention to the neck if you're shaving your face. 2. Wet your hands with warm water. 3. Squeeze a generous dollop of cream or gel onto your fingers of one hand, then rub hands together to distribute evenly. 4. Massage the product into the skin with relatively slow circular motions. Do this for at least 30 seconds. Enjoy the scent of the shaving lather. Pay attention to it. Concentrate on it. Feel it on the skin. 5. Wet the hands again. Don't wash off any remaining lather from your hands. Just get them wet again. 6. Continue to massage the product into the skin for another 15 seconds. 7. Wait 30 seconds. Use this time to wash your hands, tidy up the area, and admire your good looks. Now, shave as you have been. If you shave in passes, lathering for each pass, you don't need to wait 30 seconds before shaving on later passes, just the first one. But be sure to briefly rinse between passes to keep the skin wet. Using lathering cream or soap applied with a brush, here is your best opportunity to truly enjoy your shave. Not just a good shave, an enjoyable shave. Lathering creams or soap offers a huge variety of scents. Woods, spices, colognes, real scents that can evoke memories or scenes in your mind. Not just the smell of the latest body spray or underarm deodorant. Ugh. And the bonus is, you can gently warm the lather to give it an extra dimension. Does it take a little longer to make compared to the other type of lather? Yes, but it is worth the trouble. The lathering process. There are some variations on how to make a good lather with different products, and it can take a little practice to get right, but the payoff can be a dramatically better shave. There are two general schools of thought on making traditional shaving lather, differentiated mostly on how water is integrated into the mix. The classic method of lather making starts with minimal water on the brush, adding water until you get the lather consistency you are looking for. The other school of thought, sometimes called creamy versus frugal lather making, starts out with much more water on the shaving brush, letting overflow spill out unused. Neither method is right or wrong. Try both methods to see what works best for you, or discover your own method. You may need to use most of your 10-minute set-aside time to experiment if you are not versed in the art of lather making. Don't worry, though. Once you get the hang of it, you can cut that time way down. By the way, you can usually use a classic lathering shaving cream, brushless as well. You just need to use a lot more product than you would use with a brush. Classic lathering. Making shaving lather the classic way starts with soaking both the brush and the cream or soap in water. Fill a sink with warm to hot water and place the shaving brush in the sink. How long the brush needs to be soaked is dependent on the type of brush. Boar hair, horse hair, and low grades of badger hair, such as pure black, need to soak longer, probably several minutes, than higher grades of badger, perhaps less than a minute. Synthetic brushes do not need to be soaked at all, just thoroughly wetted. If you are using a puck of shaving soap, put it in the sink as well, or if it is in a container or bowl, just add hot water to that. If you have a jar of shaving cream that has been used for a while, it's probably worth pouring in a little water as well. The key point in these circumstances is to loosen the outer skin of the product to make loading easier. More on that shortly. After soaking, dump the water out of the container of soap or cream and shake the brush 3 or 4 times to get rid of the excess. Now you're going to load your brush. If you have a shave soap puck or a jar of shave cream, spin the brush into it, pressing down slightly to coat the brush's bristles with product. An alternative for the jar is to scoop out some with a small utensil and place it directly in the center of the brush. You are looking for more than just a light foam on the bristles. You want a relatively thick coat. If you are using a tube of shave cream, squeeze out an almond-sized amount directly into the center of the brush. Now you're going to build lather. You can do it in an empty bowl of some kind or directly onto the face. An advantage of using a bowl is that you can get a better idea of how the brush is generating lather, and if you gently heat the bowl beforehand, you can get a warmed lather that can feel, well, really great. On the other hand, building a lather directly on the face can save some time. Week 2. Lather. The Mysteries of Shave Lather. This week's challenge is to make the most enjoyable lather with the product or products you have selected to use based on last week's homework. The point here is to make applying and using shave lather something that appeals to your senses of touch and scent. Before you lather, be sure to prepare the area as discussed in the previous section. You may have found that you don't need all the time that was set aside to do it, which is fine. Personally, I only need about a minute's worth of washing and rinsing, but it can take longer, depending on the person. And that's okay, too. Using canned goo, products from pressurized cans. Don't. Just don't. There may be a couple can shaving products that perform reasonably well, but all things being equal, putting can shaving product on your skin is the least acceptable method of shaving. It usually does not smell good if it smells like anything. It is not as good for the skin. The propellants will dry out the skin, so manufacturers have to add artificial lubricants. And it's really just as messy as other methods of lather. You may be saving yourself 90 seconds of building an amazing, enjoyable lather, but it's not worth the time saved. Using brushless cream or gel from a squeeze tube. Still probably not the best option for a truly enjoyable shave, but using a brushless cream or gel applied with your fingers can certainly give you a good shave. Hopefully, you found a brushless product with a scent you enjoy. Applying a brushless product is reasonably straightforward, but a lot of people just don't spend the time to do it correctly. Here's where your 10-minute set-aside will come in. Like last week, you probably won't need all that time. After you have prepared the area, 1. Wet the area to be shaved with warm water. Remember to pay close attention to the neck if you're shaving your face. 2. Wet your hands with warm water. 3. Squeeze a generous dollop of cream or gel onto your fingers of one hand, then rub hands together to distribute evenly. 4. Massage the product into the skin with relatively slow circular motions. Do this for at least 30 seconds. Enjoy the scent of the shaving lather. Pay attention to it. Concentrate on it. Feel it on the skin. 5. Wet the hands again. Don't wash off any remaining lather from your hands. Just get them wet again. 6. Continue to massage the product into the skin for another 15 seconds. 7. Wait 30 seconds. Use this time to wash your hands, tidy up the area, and admire your good looks. Now, shave as you have been. If you shave in passes, lathering for each pass, you don't need to wait 30 seconds before shaving on later passes, just the first one. But be sure to briefly rinse between passes to keep the skin wet. Using lathering cream or soap applied with a brush. Here is your best opportunity to truly enjoy your shave. Not just a good shave, an enjoyable shave. Lathering creams or soap offers a huge variety of scents. Woods, spices, colognes, real scents that can evoke memories or scenes in your mind. Not just the smell of the latest body spray or underarm deodorant. Ugh. And the bonus is, you can gently warm the lather to give it an extra dimension. Does it take a little longer to make compared to the other type of lather? Yes, but it is worth the trouble. The lathering process. There are some variations on how to make a good lather with different products, and it can take a little practice to get right, but the payoff can be a dramatically better shave. There are two general schools of thought on making traditional shaving lather, differentiated mostly on how water is integrated into the mix. The classic method of lather making starts with minimal water on the brush, adding water until you get the lather consistency you are looking for. The other school of thought, sometimes called creamy versus frugal lather making, starts out with much more water on the shaving brush, letting overflow spill out unused. Neither method is right or wrong, Try both methods to see what works best for you, or discover your own method. You may need to use most of your 10-minute set-aside time to experiment if you are not versed in the art of lather making. Don't worry, though. Once you get the hang of it, you can cut that time way down. By the way, you can usually use a classic lathering shaving cream, brushless as well. You just need to use a lot more product than you would use with a brush. Classic lathering. Making shaving lather the classic way starts with soaking both the brush and the cream or soap in water. Fill a sink with warm to hot water and place the shaving brush in the sink. How long the brush needs to be soaked is dependent on the type of brush. Boar hair, horse hair, and low grades of badger hair, such as pure black, need to soak longer, probably several minutes, than higher grades of badger, perhaps less than a minute. Synthetic brushes do not need to be soaked at all, just thoroughly wetted. If you are using a puck of shaving soap, put it in the sink as well, or if it is in a container or bowl, just add hot water to that. If you have a jar of shaving cream that has been used for a while, it's probably worth pouring in a little water as well. The key point in these circumstances is to loosen the outer skin of the product to make loading easier. More on that shortly. After soaking, dump the water out of the container of soap or cream and shake the brush 3 or 4 times to get rid of the excess. Now you're going to load your brush. If you have a shave soap puck or a jar of shave cream, spin the brush into it, pressing down slightly to coat the brush's bristles with product. An alternative for the jar is to scoop out some with a small utensil and place it directly in the center of the brush. You are looking for more than just a light foam on the bristles. You want a relatively thick coat. If you are using a tube of shave cream, squeeze out an almond-sized amount directly into the center of the brush. Now you're going to build lather. You can do it in an empty bowl of some kind or directly onto the face. An advantage of using a bowl is that you can get a better idea of how the brush is generating lather, and if you gently heat the bowl beforehand, you can get a warmed lather that can feel, well, really great. On the other hand, building a lather directly on the face can save some time. Start massaging the brush into the bowl or onto the face using circular motions and pressing the brush down slightly. Some advocate using a painting motion versus a circular motion, but let's start off with circular. Massage for about 30 seconds, then dip the tips of the brush in water and repeat. It may take several minutes for the lather to build on the brush to the right consistency, depending on the type of brush, the type of product you use, and the mineral content of the water. Whether you're building in a bowl or on the face, you're looking for a shiny, somewhat loose consistency, runnier than what might come out of a can or brushless tube, with soft peaks, like cake batter, and without any bubbles. Once again, while you're doing this, enjoy the scent of the shaving lather. Pay attention to it. Concentrate on it. Feel it on the skin. Creamy lather. Here's how Michael Leisure Guy Ham describes making creamy lather. If you have a boar or horsehair brush, wet the knot thoroughly under the hot water tap and let the brush stand, dripping wet, on its base while you shower. That serves to soak and soften the knot. Then, for soap and harder shaving creams, wet brush fully, sopping, dripping wet, and hold the tub of soap over the sink on its side and brush briskly and firmly, enough so that the bristles splay somewhat, until the bubbles being formed are microscopic, at which point the brush is fully loaded. At first, some water and some loose, sloppy lather will spill into the sink, but pretty soon you'll see real lather. But keep brushing. The focus is loading the brush, not making lather, and you want the brush fully loaded with soap. Brush the soap until the bubbles being formed are microscopic, creamy rather than foamy. Then, bring the brush to your wet, washed beard and work the lather up and into the stubble, taking your time. If the lather seems a little dry or a little stiff, too much soap, then run a driblet of water into the center of the brush and work the lather on your face. I've never had lather that's too wet with this technique, but sometimes I do need to add a little water. Do several to practice. Try loading for shorter and longer times. Try adding little driblets of water, working it into the lather, little by little, until you can tell the lather's too wet. In other words, play around with it to get experience and try things out. Since making good lather is a matter of experience, get as much experience as quickly as you can. I found that the microscopic bubble indicator is the most reliable sign that the brush is fully loaded. If the lather's still bad, suspect hard water and try distilled water shave. Hard water doesn't affect shaving cream so much. Note that hard water is not softened by using a Brita filter, which removes particulate matter, not dissolved minerals. Also, bottled drinking water is hard. Hard water tastes better. For soft shaving creams, if it's a firm, hard cream, like Figaro, for example, or Tabula Rasa, or Coats Limited Edition, or Dr. Selby's 3X Concentrated Shaving Cream, make the lather as if for a soap, as described above. If it's a relatively soft cream, AlShaving.com Shaving Creams, Taylor Rolls Bond Street, Avocado, Castle Forbes, or the like, wet the brush well, shake it a couple of times, and twirl the tips in the tub. If the cream's in a tube, squeeze out a little and put it in the brush or smear it on your wet beard on your cheeks. Then, use the brush to spread the cream over the entire beard so that your beard is coated with a thin layer of almost pure shaving cream. Run a driblet of water into the center of the brush and brush your beard to work the water into the shaving cream. Repeat as needed until you get the lather where you want it. Again, play around. Keep adding little bits of water until the lather's too wet, testing it perhaps along the way between the thumb and forefinger to see how slick it is. Slickness will increase, and then when the lather's too wet, slickness will fall off sharply. The more you play around with test lathers, the faster you learn to make a good lather. Whatever method you try, now shave as you normally have, but remember, however you build lather, making the experience enjoyable is a key point in getting an enjoyable overall shave. Some tips if you're having trouble. It's safe to say everyone has experienced trouble making traditional shaving lather at one time or another. Here are three shortcuts to making a better, more stable lather more quickly. Super lather. Priming the brush with a shave soap, then adding a shave cream, otherwise known as super lather, can be an effective, albeit perhaps a bit messy, way to get a stable lather. Loading a fairly wet shaving brush with shave soap, or even a gentle glycerin-based facial soap, will trap water and hold it where it needs to be. Then adding a shaving cream will fully hydrate the lather and also create a really slick cushion to work with. Uber lather. A trick similar to super lather is Uber lather. Uber lather is the process of adding a few drops of pure glycerin to the shaving brush before lathering with the shaving cream or soap. The extra glycerin will create a more stable, long-lasting lather. Glycerin can be found fairly easily. Look for it at the local Mega Mart, drugstore, or large grocery store. It's usually in either the skincare or first aid area. Distilled water. Sometimes lather is not very good because the water is not very good, with too many minerals or contaminants, in other words, hard water. If you have hard water, try using distilled water. Just heat some up, not to boiling, and pour it in your sink, with the stopper closed, of course. Homework for the Shave Technique Challenge. Next week, we go into razors and shave technique. Before we tackle that, however, I want you to carefully map the direction that the hair grows in the area you are going to shave, and review the razor you are now using and determine whether it's right for you. Let the hair grow out for a day or so, then with a mirror, magnification if possible, gently rub your fingers along the skin from different directions. The direction where the skin feels least rough is the grain of the stubble. We will use this information next week. The key point is to determine how the hair grows and whether the shaving tool used is appropriate for your circumstances. Week 3. Shave technique. Let's assume you'll be shaving your face, though the concepts apply to shaving pretty much anywhere. Last week's homework was to carefully map how the grain on your distilled
water. Before we tackle that, however,
distilled water,
I want you to carefully
lather. Absolutely. Now it's time to put that map to work. Essential razor technique number 1. The importance of grain. Knowing how the hair grows is essential to a comfortable and hence more enjoyable shave because it allows you to remove more hair per stroke with less chance of irritation, providing more beard reduction more quickly. Understanding beard growth is essential when using a multi-blade razor. It is less essential when using a single-blade razor, but still important. More on that later. Grain is also important to know, so that if you decide to pull the skin taut to shave, you can know which direction to pull. Overstretching the skin makes the possibility of irritation or ingrown hairs much more likely. Essential razor technique number 2. Reduction by passes. No matter what kind of razor you use, an essential razor technique is to shave in passes, with each pass progressively removing hair more closely to the skin. Even multi-blade razors with their lift-and-cut theory, though some might say it is more like yank-and-hack, follow this technique, along with the grain. Essential razor technique number 3. No pressure. Putting too much pressure on the razor creates a valley for the blade, not only reducing the efficiency of the blade, but also making irritation more likely. Modern cartridge razors that pivot can partially compensate for too much pressure, but don't rely on it. Hold the razor by the bottom of the handle, tilt your head to one side, and let the head of the razor rest on your cheek. Feel that? That's the most amount of pressure you want to use. Essential razor technique number 4. Proper blade angle. If you are not using a razor with a replaceable blade cartridge, you will have to be concerned with the angle where the blade meets the skin. Blade cartridges set this angle for you, with some engineer or marketer deciding what is best for everyone. But if you are using a classic double-edged or single-edged blade, including a straight razor, you must set the angle yourself. Essential razor technique number 5. A sharp blade or cartridge. It may seem obvious, but a good, enjoyable shave needs a good, sharp blade to shave with. That means not using a blade or cartridge that is beyond its prime. Putting it all together. In some ways, the actual shave is almost anticlimactic, as preparation and lathering may be more important to an enjoyable shave. But part of getting an enjoyable shave is that the shave is comfortable and as close as you like, which requires a blade. Here is where you can experiment to find the intersection of close, comfortable, and enjoyable. Razor technique with your first pass should always be with the grain and almost leisurely in its accomplishment. Don't worry about getting every last strand of hair or going over the same spot again and again during the same pass. Your goal is to reduce stubble, not eliminate it. Use your 10-minute schedule to try some or all of these experiments to see what works best for you. If you are using a single blade without a cartridge, i.e. classic double edge or single edge like the injector style, or a straight razor, you might be able to cheat the grain a little. Rest the razor head or blade against the cheek and slowly rock the razor downward until the blade edge
just makes contact with the skin, and then go just a bit more. Then lock your wrist and shave straight downward, regardless of the grain. The angle between the blade edge and the skin should be somewhere between 30 and 45 degrees. Relather and repeat the first pass. This razor technique is especially useful for those who are learning single blade shaving. Reduce stubble more slowly. After the first pass, relather and shave across the grain, the direction 90 degrees away from the grain. Relather and shave across the grain from the opposite direction. Relather, then shave against the grain. Then on successive shaves, start experimenting with the final passes. Is not shaving against the grain acceptable? Do you need both across-grain passes? And gauge the effects. Segment the area to be shaved into its flattest parts. Take shorter, maybe even much shorter strokes on the curved areas like the chin. Rinse the blade between segments so that you always have a clean blade on each part. Listen to the shave. Many people consider the sound of shaving to be one of its most enjoyable aspects. You may not hear much using a cartridge razor, but many single-blade razors produce a deep, satisfying sound, and many who use a straight razor listen for a singing sound of the razor. In any case, with some experience, you should be able to determine the sound the razor makes when it is cutting properly. Finishing. Even multiple passes with great lather and careful razor technique may still result in small, rough areas. Your first goal before going any further is to determine whether it's really hair stubble or just a rough or loose patch of skin. One way to find out is to simply move on to whatever you do after shaving, and an hour or two later, check the area. If it feels smooth, it is probably because you have a loose area of skin in that area. After the skin returned to its normal muscle tone, the skin smoothed out. On the other hand, if the skin still feels rough, a finishing razor technique might be necessary on your next shave. This might include an oil pass, a water pass, or using some advanced razor techniques in the specific areas. Some advocate various blends of oils to make a very thin coating for polishing the rough spots. I've seen a few people use just water for a touch and cut of an area. However, because water is so volatile for shaving purposes, it can easily lead to razor burn. Something a little safer to try would be a little additional shaving cream applied directly to the area. Others rub a little shaving soap on the area without lathering. After shaving. A straight razor needs some attention after the shave, too, to maintain its condition. Carefully wipe the blade clean with a dry tissue or towel. Don't forget to dry the inside of the scales as well, so water doesn't get to the blade when the razor is in the closed position. Then store the razor for its next use. If you are not going to use the razor for a while, you may want to coat the blade with a thin coating of light oil. Baby oil will work fine, or even petroleum jelly to prevent corrosion. Homework for after the shave challenge. In preparation for next week, I want you to determine your skin type and find an aftershave appropriate for that type. How do you know what type of skin you have? Dry skin appears rough, dull, or cracked, and is prone to peeling, lines, and wrinkles. Be sure to use a gentle face wash and only use a facial scrub once a week. Make sure you drink plenty of water and moisturize twice daily with a good moisturizer. Oily skin looks shiny, particularly on the T-zone, forehead, nose, and chin, and feels, well, oily to the touch. The skin appears to have large or open pores, and it is prone to blackheads, whiteheads, spots, pimples, and even acne. Oily skin attracts dust and dirt, so it might be useful to use a facial cleanser twice daily, a facial scrub two or three times a week, and use an oil-free moisturizer. Sensitive skin will itch, sting, or break out in a rash when you use certain shaving and skincare products. you'll need to try to use products specifically made for sensitive skin. Combination skin. You will have a central greasy area around the forehead, nose, and chin, but dry around the cheeks. It's also prone to blackheads, especially around the nose. The best way of dealing with combination skin is either to use products designed specifically for combination skin or to simply apply the relevant products to the relevant areas of your face. Dry skin products for the dry area and oil-free products for the T-zone. Normal skin. Normal skin appears evenly textured, smooth, clear, and healthy, with barely visible pores and without blemishes or spots. To maintain clear skin, use a good quality facial wash and lightweight moisturizer every day, punctuated with a facial scrub once or twice a week. Aftershaves. What about after the shave? There is a surprising amount of variety in aftershave products, and many widely available aftershaves are pretty good, probably because many widely available razors and shave creams are so bad. But that wide variety of aftershave products can be confusing, especially with all the different terminology that gets spewed out without much explanation. It all kind of makes you wonder who's in charge, so let's look at a general overview of aftershaves with some rules of thumb. But first, let's clarify what aftershave means, because it can mean different things to different people. I'm not talking about products you might use after shaving that are mostly alcohol and some kind of scent component, almost like a cologne. I'm talking about the products that are applied immediately after shaving to provide some combination of irritation relief, skin moisturizing, and protection from the elements. Select an aftershave based how that combination addresses the needs of your skin. Aftershaves can be divided into two broad categories, balms and splashes. Balms are heavier feeling on the skin and typically provide more irritation relief and more moisturization to the skin, particularly in cold or dry climates. Splashes are more watery feeling and generally contain a combination of toners, astringent, and hydrosols to cleanse and provide a degree of antiseptic or antibacterial protection to the skin. They're more popular with those with oily skin or in hot, humid climates. Both balms and splashes often use some kind of humectant to increase the effectiveness of other ingredients. There are also some other crossover ingredients that might be used in a balm or a splash. By the way, I'm often asked whether a moisturizer is the same as an aftershave balm. No, an aftershave balm contains additional ingredients. Humectants are ingredients used to increase the skin penetration and activity time of other ingredients. They're also used to minimize the dehydrating effect of some other active ingredient. Examples of humectants include glycerol, propylene glycerol, sorbitol, lactic acids, or urea. Moisturizers are ingredients generally designed to make the external layers of the skin softer and more pliable by increasing the skin's water content. It does that not by putting water into the skin, but by reducing evaporation. A moisturizer is not a single ingredient, but a combination of ingredients like oils and humectants working together. Toners and astringents are designed to cleanse the skin and shrink the appearance of pores. Astringents are the strongest form of toner, containing a high proportion of alcohol, 20-60%. Mild astringent solutions are used in the relief of minor skin irritations like superficial cuts, rash from allergies, insect bites, or fungal infections like athlete's foot. They can also help heal scars. They are commonly recommended for oily skin as they are drying, but keep in mind that the removal of oil from the skin can lead to excess oil production as the skin tries to compensate and prevent moisture loss. Topically applied astringents cause mild coagulation of skin proteins and will dry, harden, and protect the skin. Astringents are best applied only to the problem areas of skin to prevent excessive drying. Some common ingredients include alum, oatmeal, acacia, yarrow, witch hazel, distilled vinegar, and alcohol. Astringent preparations include silver nitrate, potassium permanganate, zinc oxide, zinc sulfate. Hydrosols are the product of essential oils usually obtained by steam distillation from aromatic plants. Hydrosols go by other names including floral water, herbal distillates, hydrolate, herbal water, and essential water. Hydrosols are produced in the same manner as essential oils, but essential oils will float to the top of the distillate where they are removed, leaving behind the watery distillate. In the past, hydrosols were considered a byproduct of distillation, but now they're considered an important co-product. The science of distillation is based on the fact that different substances vaporize at different temperatures. Hydrosols contain diluted essential oils. Because hydrosols are produced at high temperatures and are somewhat acidic, they tend to inhibit bacterial growth, but they're not sterile. Hydrosols can also help the skin get back to a normal pH by being more acidic, where shaving soaps and creams may be more alkaline. The traditional hydrosols most associated with shaving are rose and lavender. Rose distillates are known to be mildly antibacterial, while lavender distillates are mildly antiseptic. By the way, it's a good idea to keep hydrosols refrigerated, like milk. They last longer, and they feel nice in the heat of summer. Good versus bad ingredients. Ingredients to look for: aloe vera, chamomile, tea tree oil, calendula, witch hazel, lavender, jojoba oil, grapefruit seed extract, rose oil distillate, and various vitamins. Ingredients to avoid: high concentrations of alcohol, camphor, or eucalyptus, grapefruit if you're going to be outdoors a lot, and lemon oil if you have sensitive skin. Your goal is to find an aftershave product that is appropriate for your skin and has a scent you enjoy. Week 4, finishing up. After the shave. After you have shaved, you should rinse the area well to remove any lather residue that may have been left behind. Rinse with warm water first. Some people will soak a cotton pad with witch hazel and wipe the area clean as an additional measure. Then, rinse with cool water. Want to ramp up the enjoyment of your after-the-shave routine? Try this. Wet a hand towel with water, wring out the excess, and place it in your freezer. After you have shaved and rinsed, grab the towel, sprinkle on a few drops of your favorite cologne, and place it on the freshly shaved area. This has the effect of helping to constrict the pores, disinfect the area from the alcohol in the cologne, and it smells great. Oops! Even the best, most careful shaver can occasionally get a nick or cut. Here are some strategies to deal with it. Spot treatments. The classic way to treat a shaving nick or cut is with a styptic pencil. A styptic stops bleeding by contracting skin tissues to seal injured blood vessels. A classic styptic is made of aluminum sulfate. Aluminum sulfate is not an aluminum metal, but rather a naturally occurring mineral. You wet it, then rub it against the nick or cut. Yes, it usually stings. It's typically a solid, though some products add additional ingredients like aloe vera to make a liquid which is then applied using a rollerball. Another common spot nick treatment ingredient is aluminum chloride or one of its cousins, like aluminum chlorohydrate. It is again used with additional ingredients to make a more skin-friendly, convenient product. Pacific Shaving's Nick Stick is also applied with a roller ball, and Parasso Styptic Gel is in gel form. It works really well for me, and I found a tiny bit goes a long way. A few other in a pinch ideas for spot treatment of nicks or cuts when nothing else is available includes a bit of petroleum jelly or even lip balm. Aluminum chlorohydrate is used in commercial antiperspirants, so rubbing your finger on an antiperspirant stick and then onto the neck could help. Full face treatments. What about solutions that are used on the entire face? These aren't meant specifically for a nick or cut treatment, but are useful for them anyway. A classic face treatment for after shaving is using an alum block. Alum block is made up of potassium alum, another naturally occurring mineral. It was primarily used for its antiseptic properties back in the day, but it is a mild astringent too, so it's useful for those little shaving weepers. You wet the block and rub it all over your moist face. If you have not nicked yourself, you may experience a cold tingle. As it goes over a nick, you may get a bit of a sting, though. Allow the face to dry briefly, then rinse off with cool water. You don't want to keep the mineral on your face due to its salty properties. By the way, alum blocks can also be used as an antiperspirant, and vice versa. Some of the crystalline deodorant blocks you see at the supermarket might be useful for the face. Just be sure the main ingredient is labeled as either potassium alum or potash alum. Applying aftershave products. After you have addressed any oops issues, it is time to apply your aftershave product. Aftershave products, particularly balms, are best applied onto wet skin with wet hands. It does not have to be dripping wet, but applying this way will ensure even coverage with the appropriate amount of product. Using more than one product, apply the product with the thinnest consistency first, followed by the thicker product. The end. And we have come to the end of our 30 days. I hope you are enjoying your shave more now. Be sure to read Sharpologists regularly for more tips and techniques. If you have any additional ways of enjoying your shave, be sure to share them. You have been listening to 30 Days to a More Enjoyable Shave, presented by Sharpologist. You can also download the free ebook version of 30 Days to a More Enjoyable Shave at Sharpologist.com. If you enjoyed the audio format, please join me, Rick DeWeese, at the Brush and Soap and Blade podcast for more audio enjoyment.